You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
This is All in Our Family, and I'm Miss Yolanda Robinson, and this is radio the way it should be heard. Listening audience, you know what? This year we're going to be electing. It's a very important election. We're going to be electing a president. We got judges that are being elected. And so it's very important that we have the accurate information on how we can vote, particularly with all the confusion that's going on. We have COVID and, you know, the information that we're hearing about the post office. So I decided that we would bring in some of the experts to give us some tips on what we're going to do about voting this year. So in the studio, I have Lisa Freeman Williamson and Aaron Sellers, who is the manager of communications with the Board of Elections. It will be calling on the line. But Lisa's in the studio now. So Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well.
Now Lisa, I saw you and you're registering people to vote, you know. Live right next door, not too far from where I live. I said, oh my goodness. But Lisa, how long have you been doing that?
I founded the organization WTF Weigh the Facts in 2012.
In 2012. So you've been doing it for quite a while then.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, and Weigh the Facts, what you do is register people to vote and voter education?
So what we do is voter service, all the way from education to mobilization. Register people to vote. We have the absent voter request forms available if that's what you want to do. Uh-huh. We have voter forums coming up. Our voter forum series actually starts this Thursday, where WTF has partnered with 100 Black Women of Central Ohio. Uh-huh. So we're going to be doing the county administrative offices this Thursday from 6 to 8.
Oh, that is so wonderful. So, you know, how old do you have to be to register to vote?
If you will be 18 by the general election, you are eligible to register to vote. And the general election is November 3rd of 2020.
November 3rd of 2020. Okay. And so if you just moved to Columbus or moved to a city, you can register?
You can register. You can participate in the election as long as you've been in Ohio 30 days prior to the election. So just before the election cutoff date, which is October 5th.
Okay, so what if you just moved? I mean, can you still vote?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
So you need to go to WTF so you can cast an educated and empowered ballot and get the information that you need.
So you go to WTF and ask for educated and empowerment. Oh, my goodness. Did you get that, listening audience? An educated and an empowerment ballot. So if you just moved in a city, is that all over the country or is just in Franklin County?
That is in the state of Ohio. I can't speak to other jurisdictions right now.
Okay, for the state of Ohio, you can ask for an educated and empowerment ballot. I kind of like that. Oh, my goodness. So can you... what about if you just if you live in another country, say if you're in a service and you live in Japan, can you still vote in this election?
Military families definitely have been participating in the election for decades. So yes, you're eligible to vote.
Okay. So they can register. How do they register?
They could register through their Secretary of State, that office.
Okay.
But the UOCAVA vote, again, that program has been around for decades. So they're really strong about getting military families involved in having their voices heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and college students, I mean, you know, you just left and went to college. Those that are on campuses now, how do they, if they want to vote, how can they do that to register?
So you can register from your primary residence, which be that your parents' home or your own home if you had that before you moved. And that is where your vote would then be counted. Or if you register in the locality that you are, you would be voting on those issues and candidates.
So are you saying that they have a choice? They could, like, say if you were a student at Ohio State and you moved from Cleveland, You have a choice of if your vote will count in Cleveland or Franklin County?
If you are planning to return to your Cleveland residence, then that's considered your primary residence, and that's where you should do your voting from. Yes.
Okay. But can you do it in the dorm?
You can absolutely do an absent voter request form and get an absentee ballot, and that will come if you... In our example, we're talking about Cleveland, so that would come from Cuyahoga County.
Oh, I see. Now, what about if you are in just moved? Say you just moved from one side of town to the other side of town. You said it's 30 days?
Yes, ma'am. So you would need to go ahead and change your registration, because what happens is they want you to be voting on the issues that are pertinent to you. Uh-huh. So be that a school levy, be that a tax levy, be uh-huh. that a liquor license, they want uh-huh. to make sure that your vote is being counted in the area that you live, because those are the issues that are that impact you.
Oh, wow. Now, how do you, I mean, I just moved. If you just moved, I didn't just move, but if you just, are they going to have the same polls? I got so many questions. Are they going to have the same polls that they did before? Say, you know, I know in my neighborhood, we vote over at the school. Is that going to happen this year, or do we have to do a mail-in ballot or go to the Board of Elections?
You don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. The Secretary of State is currently recruiting precinct election officials or poll workers. Uh-huh. And that's 35,000 of them that they need. Mm-hmm. So what is going to happen is that wherever you're registered, and that's your polling location. So you can go on Franklin County Board of Elections website mm-hmm. to their voter information and put in your address, and it'll tell you which precinct and location you should vote at.
Oh, okay. So the precincts and will be open then.
The polling locations will be open.
Oh,
I want to just put in a plug though that we have had people fight with blood, sweat, and tears to get our right to vote, but we don't want to endanger our health to do that thing.
Yes, yes.
So if at all possible, and you can go to participate in early vote, which starts October 6th, mm-hmm. or do an absent ballot request, mm-hmm. that would be really good.
Oh, yeah, because some of my friends, they said that they're going to do an early vote because of COVID, and
yes.
they didn't, you know.
Yes.
Now, I'm so glad that you're here, because, you know, it's so confusing. This is the first time this has ever happened since I voted, and
right.
you know, people don't know what to do, and that they want to vote, you know.
Yeah.
Are they sending out ballots to everybody, or are they going to you have to request a ballot?
So the Secretary of State's office will be sending out absent ballot request forms to every registered voter around Labor Day. But we want to just really enforce, don't wait until the last minute. Don't procrastinate. The office itself is saying, don't wait, get your ballot. So go ahead and get that requested now, or come out to some of the places that WTF is going to be and get your absent voter request form, because we want to make sure our voices are heard.
You mean you can actually go and pick one up?
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Oh, okay. So yes. You're going to be all over the place?
We're going to be everywhere. Yes, everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Well, good for you.
Well,
good for you.
You.
Oh, wow. So if you want to send it in, now, say I got the ballot,
mm-hmm.
and I can't find the envelope that it came in.
I saw that question.
Is my vote going to count if I put it in one of my envelopes that I have at home?
So I don't have an Ohio revised code answer for that.
Uh-huh.
I looked myself, and I actually went to my mentor and asked her, and she uh-huh. said, what we recommend, so we don't have any tomfoolery, is to just... I'll keep a hold of that envelope and send it back in what they sent to you.
All right. Don't lose that envelope, you
right.
guys. Don't lose it now. Maybe it's a good idea once you get it to just go on and send it in. Now, can you drop it off?
So, yes, each county has a drop-off location. In Franklin County here, it is at the Board of Elections
uh-huh.
On Morris Road.
Uh-huh.
So you can drop it off at a secure drop box location.
Oh. okay, so you can drop it off at a secure box. So if I drop it off, do I have to have identification and all that?
No, you just drop it in the box.
Or you can just drop it off in the box. Now, let's talk about identification when you go to vote. Now, when you go to vote, for all of you who are first-time voters, what do you have to have in order to vote? What kind of identification, and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable?
So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Early vote is phenomenal because of COVID and the BMV being closed. If your identification is not up to date, participate in early vote because you don't need to present any ID. You can just tell the last four of your social security or your driver's license number. Now, some of the things that you're able to use is, again, an unexpired Ohio driver's license or state ID, a government issued ID, a state issued ID, military identification, a utility bill with your current address, a bank statement, a government check, your paycheck. As long as your addresses are current, those are things you're able to use. And please do know your rights. You can go to weighthefacts.org, and there is a list of the identification that you can use at the polls, because we want to make sure, again, that you know your rights so that when you go in, you can present what you need to present and go ahead and cast a regular ballot. If you don't have any of those things, you can vote provisionally and then provide that information to the board.
Oh, okay. So when you vote provisionally, you have to later on provide the information to the board. How many days do you have to wait? How many days will they hold it for you to provide that information?
Well, the election is not certified until 10 days after the election. So if you vote provisionally, you will receive a communication from the Board of Elections. And I want to say that that's a 10-day piece. Again, go in. You have a lot of different alternate IDs that you can use so that you can cast your ballot.
Okay. Now, there's some don't do's that I don't think people know about when you go vote, you know, such as you can't wear your favorite candidate's
shirt.
Yes,
you cannot.
You know, you can't. No.
No.
Don't do that.
No politicking inside the
you
ballot.
You can't do any politicking. So even if you like the person, you just got to wear something that doesn't say party affiliation or your favorite candidate.
Exactly.
Is there anything else that you're not supposed to do so you don't get pulled out of the line and may have to,
Well, we know that no politicking can be done within 100 feet, or is it yards, of the polling location. So if you have a candidate that you're out there working the polls for, definitely keep in mind, and those are always marked. I've served as a precinct election official in three different counties, and those are marked off in the morning, so as long as you're outside of there, you're good to go.
Yeah, so as long as you're outside. Okay, all right. So you can't do that. No. That's a no-no, so don't do that. But you can wear it after you vote.
Right.
You can wear it in the shopping malls or wherever you go, you know, but you can't do it while you vote. And that is so good. Now, if I want to be a precinct person, okay, and I want to vote, and I just registered to vote, can I still be a precinct person?
Yes, you can. They are needing 35,000 people to man those polls, and they're typical population for precinct election officials are over 60, which puts them in the COVID danger zone. So they're going to be needing new blood in
there. We'll be targeting some young people to do that. It's quite an experience. I mean, you know, I've done it before, and I kind of got connected to the people because we were doing it every year. So,
right.
It was like, oh, you're back.
Right.
How you doing?
It's like you should do a reunion. It's
almost like a reunion. You know, you just said, oh, shoot, I really, you know, you get to know them because you're spending the whole day there.
Exactly. And asking about family and animals and all that.
Yeah, all those things, you know, when you have a down period. But I don't know if it's going to be a down period this time because of the. This is a presidential election, and it's really important.
It is very important. We're going to just echo what Stacey Abrams said. If there's 100 people at a voting location, we want to get 50 of them out of line so that, again, we can maintain our safety.
So that's what you're going to do. Okay, so if you hadn't voted Okay, some people don't vote every year.
Well, that's a bad thing. Every election affects you. If you don't do politics, politics will do you.
I know that's right, because I had sometimes politics do me. I'm trying to get a fence. I mean, a traffic light in my neighborhood. You got to vote, because, you know, see, some of those politicians, they check your record. That's, did you vote?
Thank you so much for saying
how
that.
How can you come in here and ask me and to do something and you're not even voting? You better go back outside and register to vote. I mean, back in when I was younger, we had a politician that made sure that you were registered. If you couldn't even talk to him unless he was registered to vote.
That's a really good point that you're bringing up, because if you're not a constituent, they're not concerned with your needs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you want to be on the book.
Yes.
Now, on the books. if you have a traffic light or code enforcement or something, you can say, hey, look, I'm a registered voter.
Exactly.
Then you got a little bit of power.
Right.
So that's the beauty about it, you know. So those of you that are not registered, get out there registered. You know what, Lisa? You know what? My son, I found out one time that he hadn't registered. I almost kicked him out of the house.
Yes.
He said, I gave him a lecture about how our folks died, you know, getting us to register and all the struggles we went through just to vote. And you're not, but he said, okay, Mom, I'm going. I don't want to hear your mouth.
Exactly.
But you do want to, you know, it's quite an experience. And I think that's wonderful, you know, to be a poll worker too. Now, do you have to have an affiliation in this election? Do you have to tell them if you're Democrat or Republican?
So,
or can you keep it a secret?
So in Ohio, your party declaration is done at the primary. So when you go in for the general, you do not need to make that declaration.
Now, for a poll worker, do you have
to? For a poll worker, yes, they're going to ask you, because the poll workers are balanced equally, D's and R's.
Oh, okay. Can you be an independent and be a poll worker?
Do you know, that is a question I don't know. I would definitely doubt that they would exclude you.
Uh-huh.
But again, with that DR balance, I'm not quite sure how that works.
Oh.
I can get back to you on that.
Oh, okay. Now let's talk about these mail-in ballots.
Okay.
Do I have to have a stamp to put it on?
So what is happening is, Let's break that down a little bit.
Okay.
This is a four-step process. You need to request your absentee ballot.
Okay.
Get back your ballot.
Okay.
Fill it out, and then you need to send it back. Now, it is still up in the air in front of the legislature and the Secretary of State as to whether or not that what you get from the Secretary of State at in September is going to come with a self-addressed stamped envelope. That's still up in the air.
Definitely.
So inquiring minds want to know. Stay tuned to WTF Way the Facts.
Yeah, check with them. But anyway, it doesn't cost that much. I mean, a stamp, come on now. You can put a stamp on it.
But you know, Yolanda, that is when, again, you need to definitely be active in what's going on, because as African Americans, that's a poll tax, and our people fought against having a poll tax.
Okay.
So we need to make sure that our voices are heard in that piece.
Okay, and your voice is not heard as loudly if you don't register.
Thank you.
You know, they'll turn it up when you say, oh, registered,
Yes, and registered and active.
An active person coming in, you know, checking on it. Yeah, that's good, because just to register, you know, and I'm so glad we're saying that, because it is just as important to know who you're voting for and knowing about the issues than as it is voting, isn't it?
Oh, definitely it is. And thank you for touching on that as well. That's an excellent point. What WTF was founded about was getting the people the good information.
Uh-huh.
We're not leaning left, we're not leaning right, or otherwise. We're getting you the information, you determine what issues are important to you, and then you're able to, again, cast an educated and empowered ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't go in with a slate card and vote, you know, straight down. When I vote, I split the ticket wide open, because I vote for the best candidate.
Yeah, I already know who I'm voting for, you know, because I make telephone calls, and those people that don't answer my call, guess what? When they're on the poll, when they're up on for election, I'll say, skip it.
What you said, Yolanda, because if you are not responsive to the voters, why do you deserve a vote?
Oh, yeah.
I think people don't understand the balance of power. The electeds work for you.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Definitely keep that in mind.
Some people think got it the other way around.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That's not how it works.
And you know what? You know what, Lisa? This doesn't sound, may sound terrible, but it isn't. I've always keep a list of who I call, you know, particularly because I believe politics has to work from my house to the city hall to the state house to the White House. And if I could look outside and see politics, because, like, you know, I look outside and I say, oh, those are the speed sign. When I called city council, they were responsible for helping us get the speed sign. And I look and say, oh, these are the people I called.
Right.
And these are the people that helped me.
Exactly.
And, you know, and then I called a state rep, and the state rep wrote a letter in my behalf.
There
were some people that never returned the call. I'm still waiting to hear from them, and they never heard. And I'm saying,
I understand exactly what you mean. And and in terms of setting up forums, when potentials are not, candidates are not responsive to me, I'm like, you're not responsive in the interview phase of the piece. What are you going to do once you get in office?
If you can't show up, you know, I used to I said, well, don't show. I'll just put your name on a seat. And
where,
it'll be
where's
right
Waldo?
You know, some of them got mad at me, but if you don't show, you know,
exactly.
I don't go if you don't show.
Exactly.
So that is, it's very important that we have people that represent us and that we can see the politics, you know, in our own community, you know, with street lights, whatever it is, you know, that we can see it actually working. You know, there's so many issues with this COVID and housing, you know, affordable housing, you know, we still got the infant mortality and you know, and pay issues, jobless, you know, jobs and things. There's so many issues that we have that we need to make sure that our candidates, when they're in those positions, that they at least sound like us.
Exactly.
You know, some of them, I said, what? That don't sound like me.
Right,
so.
Right. That is not my stance on that issue.
Yeah. But, you know, we got some good ones and we got some ones that some of them that don't. So we just got to make sure that we put the right people in. And then, you know what? Life is happier.
Yes,
it's so much better when you can call them up and say, hey, and they don't know what our issues are if we don't tell them.
You
know, some of them, some people say they should, but, you know, they're in a large, large district, you know. So sometimes when you bring them up, you've got politicians that will say, hey, let's do it. You know, we'll work on these issues. So that's a good thing. So we're voting on state rep. What else is on the ballot this time in Franklin County?
So we are the county administrative offices. So the coroner, the engineer, the sheriff, the treasurer, the recorder.
Wow.
The commissioners. There's two commissioner seats that are up.
Uh-huh.
So that is us county administrative wise.
Uh-huh.
Judicially, we're going to be voting on Supreme Court, Ohio Supreme Court, district appeals courts, and then the Franklin County judges. So the domestic, the probate. State reps are up every 2 years. So, yes, we'll be voting on that entire slate.
Yes. What issues are on the ballot this year?
So there is issue 21 that we will be covering on our last forum. So, again, stay tuned to that so you can get that information, both pros and cons.
Okay. On issue 21.
Yes,
that sounds real good. But, so how can I, where do I go? I mean, we used to go to the library. Where can I go to register? Is there a place I can go, but do I have to do it online?
So we do now have online Ohio registration. Yay!
All right.
So
you know, there might be something good about COVID.
Okay. So So you do have that option. But again, WTF and lots of other organizations are going to be out in the community every Monday from 6 to 8 on the corner of Cleveland and 25th. There is a safety walk, and we are there registering people to vote. And we also have the absent ballot request forms if you're interested in those.
Oh, wow. So you'll have the absent ballot request,
ma'am.
And people can register to vote
and ma'am.
Everything. That is so good. Now, if you just came in for, just got your citizenship, can you register?
If you've been in Ohio for an Ohio resident for 30 days prior.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm trying to think of everything that our seniors that are in the rehab or the ones that are in assisted living. How is that going to be handled with COVID?
So what happens in some facilities is that they provide the absent ballot request forms, and their seniors and their residents have always voted absentee. And again, that's a good way to do it now.
Uh-huh.
Is so to just really take advantage of that absent ballot request form.
Uh-huh.
And then make sure you don't wait until the last minute, because we all know what's going on with the Postal Service. And
we just want
to make sure that you get your things in again so that your voice is heard.
So it's crucial. I mean, I guess if you really want your vote to count, don't wait till the last minute.
Right.
It's crucial that we get it in as soon as we can.
Yes, ma'am.
And make sure that our vote counts. I don't know about you out there, but my vote better count. Thank you very much. I'm going to do mine early this year, so I think I already know who I'm voting for, but I got to check out some of the issues. You know, one of the worst things that we can do, and I used to do this, is until I started reading and going in, is to be at the polls, deciding at the polls, waiting in long. You know, you should already know
who you're
voting for before you go into the polls. So don't wait till you get there and decide, well, I don't know about this person.
So I'm going to just check this person.
Yeah.
No, that's not the time to do that. Your homework.
You can call WTF.
Yes,
they're going to tell you.
They give you the
411, y'all.
We will give you the information so you can cast an empowered
ballot. Yes. So you can call, give us that webpage again.
So it's weighthefacts, weighthefacts.org.
Weighthefacts.org.
Yes, ma'am. It's weighthefacts, weighthefacts.org.
.org.
And you can also find us on Facebook.
Find you on Facebook. All right. Well, this is, I'm getting signals that it's almost time to go, and I can't believe it. We just got here. But look, don't forget to vote, y'all. And you know, you got to tune in to next week. We got some awesome programs coming up. So you've been listening to Talk to All in Our Family, heard on TalkTainmentRadio.com. And I'm S. Yolanda Robinson. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. They were telling me to go. I got a caller on the line. Caller. Caller.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Leonard Urban calling in to encourage your listeners about why it is they should go out and vote on today.
Oh, yes. Well, why should we? Tell them, Pastor Urban, why they should go out and vote.
I believe now we should go out and vote because it's very important that we understand our vote has a purpose. Our vote should be intentional. Our vote is going to help our family, our children, and even our future generations. We're helping so many people when we go out to vote, build up a legacy, and our vote is helping to become a part of the history. If we plan now, we can begin to plan for the future. We must be able to know that our vote is important. Our vote is going to be counted. Our vote is the best way to voice our opinion. A lot of people are having conversations, but there's nothing wrong with having a conversation, but we also got to put that conversation into action. We want that action to get everyone in their community to go out and make it to their local polls. If you're not available to make it to your local polls, you can even go, if you're right here in the state of Ohio, you can go and request an absentee ballot. and that'll be sent to your address. You can put that back into the mail. Also, too, I want to let the viewer audience know that if you need to update your voter registration, you can do that online. People that are in the state of Ohio, you can go to the secretaryofstate.gov website and click on register to vote or update your voter registration information. And you can do everything online. So let's not become static or wait till the last minute to make sure this is done. We have 30 days until you're able to update your information. So you have until October 5th,
yes.
2020,
yes. Mm-hmm.
to update your information online to make sure that you're eligible to vote on November 3rd in the general election. So in closing remarks, I want to say in the words of John Lewis, the vote is the most powerful nonviolent tool we have. And so Michelle Obama said yesterday, it is what it is. So we got to make sure.
It is what it is. All right. Well, thank you. Pastor Irvin, what church are you with?
I'm at Mount Gerizim Baptist Church. Pastor Clifford Riley is my pastor.
Oh, I love those. I love that congregation. Tell everybody I said hello. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. You've been listening to All in Our Family, heard on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Baby, maybe we'll fire the landlord. This next song is dedicated to all the cool cats and...
Attention, Central Ohio.
Stand by for an important message.
Someone once said, these times, like all times, are good times if we just know what to do. Linco Realty says this is the best time to buy or sell a home because interest rates are the lowest in history. Linco Realty has been providing real estate services for over 40 years in Central Ohio. Let us help you fire your landlord. If you have questions on pre-approvals, credit scores, down payments, financing, down payment assistance programs, schools, or other real estate questions, go to LincoRealty.com or call us at 614-375-2289. Again, 614-375-2BUY. Fire your landlord. Call us at 614-375-2289. Check out LincoRealty.com, then start packing.
La Gloria's Soul Food Cafe, a taste of Southern classic, located at 3350 Allegheny Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. For carryout, call 614-237-5844 or go to DoorDash.com. Soul Food Specials on Wednesdays. Get the menu at LaGloriasCafe.com for the best eating in town.
That's La Gloria's Soul Food Cafe, 3350 Allegheny Avenue, Columbus, Ohio. For carryout, dial 614-237-5844 or go to door.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's Ash Kickin.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% Black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
ASHKICKIN. Shop Ash Kickin online at www.ashkickin.com.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is All in Our Family. I am Miss Yolanda Robinson. We are all family. All in Our Family, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Committee, and they're going to tell you a little bit about it. We have Al Edmondson with a cut above the rest, a barbershop, and also Sheila Winston, who is a dress designer. But Al, tell us about what's going on this weekend.
Hey, Yolanda, thank you for having me today. We got the 6th Annual Culture Wall Music Festival coming up this weekend, July 13th and July 14th. We're paying a special tribute to Marvin Gaye, Aretha Franklin and Teddy Pendergrass, and we're going to have a great art vendors. We got live food trucks. I mean, it's just going to be a great event for the community, and we want to continue to build upon the success of the things that are going on in our neighborhood on the east side. And I'm just very excited about, you know, this whole concert, this whole weekend, because we have Thump Daddy, we have the Deal Breakers, and then on Sunday we have Mary McClendon.
Oh
man, she's going to drop a bomb. We got Mary McClendon coming back.
And bring my fans.
Right. And then we have Ronnie Diamond Hoard, formerly with the Ohio Players.
Woo!
And we got Praise in the Park on Sunday, so it's gonna be really good. And I brought Sheila with me today because this year we added something special for our youth in our neighborhood. It's about teaching kids how to design their own clothes, and we want to pour into those folks. So Sheila, you want to talk a little bit about it?
Hi, I'm so happy to be here today. Yes, my name is Sheila Winston, and I am a designer here in Columbus, Ohio, but I'm also the CEO, founder of Design and Me Academy. It's a 3-year program we've been doing, been very successful. And this year we had the opportunity to partner with Al, and we are so excited about it. We're having our youth vendors. These are vendors that have all kinds of talents, from art, from sewing, crafts, jewelry, anything you can think of, they are coming with it. So we are excited about this, and we believe in this is not just the first part of it, but this is a year go round thing that we're going to be going. And we are so excited that we're going to be able to maybe, well, we will be. Next year is going to just be bigger. Just come and see a little bit of taste of it today.
Or this weekend, should I say. Doing something with the youth and helping them to be entrepreneurs and using their creativity.
Yes.
Wow. You got to come back on Talk Team. And I want to bring those youth back.
Oh, yes.
You know what?
We will.
So that is going to be so awesome.
Thank you.
Do we have to pay anything to go to this festival? Is there anything?
No, Yolanda, it's absolutely free. We got free parking. We have free parking at Columbus State and State Auto, and it's parking all around. We want this event to be for the community and have the community to come out. And also our community is changing, so we are adding information out throughout the community to invite those new people that are new residents in our community to come to enjoy our history this weekend.
Oh, yeah, because the east side of Columbus has a rich history. So tell us again the date and time of the program, and I'm going to be out there, and I hope that I see you out there at the Culture Arts Wall Festival.
Yeah. Yeah. So the The Young Entrepreneurs Design kicks off at what time, Yolanda?
At 10 o'clock. It will be kicking off.
At 10?
At 10, 10 to 1. And then the music starts at the festival at 3 o'clock. The first one is Thumb Daddy at 3 o'clock. At 5:30 it'll be the Deal Breakers. And at 7:30, the Marvin Gaye, Teddy Pendergrass, and Aretha Franklin Tribute Band will be playing. And then we come back on Sunday and we kick it off at 3:30 after everybody get out of church, change your clothes, come on out, get some good food, sit in the park. And we kick it off with Mary McClendon. I wish I had them both though. I'm thinking about, we got to get Nancy next year.
Yeah. And please don't forget to come out and support the youth at 10 o'clock.
Yes, and I'm going to be out there too. And if you see this old lady out there dancing, don't laugh at me because I'm still doing my 60s dance.
But one thing we want people to know is just
Marvin Gaye, oh my gosh.
You know, it's going to be a very hot weekend, so we want to make sure that people are hydrated. We're going to have plenty of water out there for you. We're going to have good food and good water. So we want to make sure that we have, hydrated. And so we're just excited this year. This is our sixth year for the festival, and we look forward to seeing everyone out and just having a good time and just like a big family reunion for our community. So look forward to seeing everybody this weekend.
Okay, well, see you there on Saturday and Sunday. We'll see you out there at the Culture Arts Festival. Thank you, Al, for coming in. And Sheila, we're going to have you back with some of those up-and-coming dress designers. Oh, my gosh. Oh, while I'm on the air, I got to give a special shout-out to the Brittenell community. I'm telling you, they had an event at the Lincoln Cafe. I never laughed with Gerald Jones and that crowd. I never laughed so hard. You know, and I understand they're going to be doing it every Monday at 7 o'clock at the Lincoln Cafe. Hey, we got some talent out here. I'm telling you, I couldn't believe, you know, the music, the voices and things. You know, they say America got talent. Well, you know what? Columbus, Ohio has some talent. My goodness. So if you're out and about on Monday and you're looking for something to do, you got to go to the Lincoln Cafe and see the Brittenell group. Like I said, comedy, music, and vocalists, and some good food too. But today on my show, we're going to talk about nosy people and snitches. Are they good or bad for the neighborhood? You know, I have in the studio my good friend Joan Robinson. We talk about this all the time. And Larry Mason, who is my neighbor. And he was the former block watch captain of the Cumberland Ridge Civic Association. Larry, could you tell people, how do you feel about nosy neighbors? Are they good or bad for the neighborhood?
Well, thank you, first of all, Yolanda, for having me on again. To answer that question, nosy neighbors have a tendency to be kind of like an enigma where most people don't understand where they're coming from. But I will say, as a whole, I would say they can be very good because it's yesterday's safety net of keeping a pulse of what's going on around you. Now, whether you want to be informed or not, I think sometimes that's the best conduit to have because everybody can't be at home at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about you, Joan? Do you think nosy neighbors are good or bad for a community?
First of all, thanks to Yolanda for having me on. And it's a pleasure to be here today. But I think nosy neighbors can be very good for our neighborhood.
Oh, you know, you talk to some people and they say, I can't stand it. They're all in my business. Every time I turn around, I remember when I was younger, I hated nosy neighbors. That every time I turn around, if I breathed and went out the yard, they would call my mom or my dad, and they knew they didn't allow us out the yard. I couldn't even sneak out the yard or go down the street without my mom or dad getting a call. Some people, my dad got mad because he lost his key and he was climbing up the ladder to get in the window, and they called the police. But I wouldn't be mad about that, would you, Larry?
No, I really wouldn't be, because yesterday just so happened, left the garage door open. A neighbor called me and said it was open. Now, granted, I got one of those remote type deals. I can close it, mm-hmm. But just the idea that the neighbors have their eyes and ears open. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that we have to look at is let's go past and present and future. In the past, you know, I think we grew up as a society where we often had people who were looking out. As you get older, you sort of get what I would call natural paranoia. You want to kind of know what's going around you. Mm-hmm. You feel disconnected, or you feel not part of, you know, the everyday rotation that you see going around you. So mm-hmm. you kind of want to, you know, you want to know what's going on around you. So I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's good to get into people's personal business. I don't mm-hmm. think that's the whole idea. Mm-hmm. But to get the environment in which you live at and keep it in a safe environment and let your neighbors know what's going on, like it could be some thefts, there could be some break-ins, there could be, you know, crime that's going on around you. That, if that's creating a safety net, and I say safety net in a sense that a lot of times people are so much into social media, well, sometimes, you know, I like that what some people would say nosy or intrusive would be a good word. Mm-hmm. The individuals oftentimes give you very good information and also gives you the ability to be able to talk. I think we've gotten to the point where we don't really talk to each other. We communicate through devices, mm-hmm. but we really don't talk face to face. So it adds a kind of like an eyeball effect. Mm-hmm. Those are the positive sides, and there's always a negative. You know, you can pick whatever negative you want.
Mm-hmm. But you think there's more positive than negative, Larry?
Yeah, I think that there can be, because mm-hmm. for one, like I said, let's choose a negative so I can show mm-hmm. you a negative. Mm-hmm. Part of the social media environment today has become so that people only contact each other through that, and they say a lot of malicious and very mean and hatred things instead of picking up and saying let's look at the positives of this and be able to uplift people and be able to tell people in a positive way of how, you know, maybe they're doing a good job, my neighbors are doing a good job, I live in a good community. And there's just so this environment of hate, so that has a tendency to be negative. And I think generationally, because you're dealing with different tiers of ages, it's how you come into it. The younger people, they're more into social media, so they see nosiness as, you know, being intrusive. Well, for me, if you're older, you see it as, okay, I can communicate with my neighbor, I can talk to them, we can talk about different issues. As like I said, as long as it doesn't get personal and doesn't get in your personal space and your personal business, I think it has, you can use it as, you know, your personal social repertoire to see how things are going.
Joan, you, nosy neighbors, okay. If I'm going to be a nosy neighbor, what things should I know about my neighbors? Or should I know my neighbors? What should I know about my neighbors?
Well, first of all, I think you should be aware of your neighbors' habits, maybe when they go to work and when they come home. And I think it wouldn't be a bad idea for you to know whenever who come through their house at frequent their homes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very good thing, because if you see an unusual car at your neighbor's house or someone acting aggressive, mm-hmm. I think you should be aware of that. I have an instance where one neighbor years ago, he was a school teacher, and some people came in, drove up with a license plate from Maryland. And the last time the neighbor saw him, he was getting in their car with his computer sitting in the front between two people. And they never saw him for a long, long time. And they kept talking about it. And I insisted that they call the police. And sure enough, he surfaced after 2 months. And this was a school teacher. But the neighbors, if they had not been nosy, they would not have noticed that these two men came and got him out of the house. And he got in their car with Maryland license plates. And they didn't see him for around 2 or 3 months. So, and this actually happened. So, and I wasn't living there at the time, but I constantly would go back and say, you need to do something about this, because that means that anyone can come in this community and take you out, and no one knows whatever happened to you. So I think if they had not been nosy, they would not have been able to give the police a lead as to possibly what could have happened to him.
And speaking of that, Larry, what would a community look like if it didn't have nosy neighbors? I mean, you know, what would that look like to you?
Obviously, Yolanda, that is a great, great question, because what happens is sometimes when you don't have people who have their eyes and ears to the ground, because sometimes, you know, you use the term nosy neighbor, but you oftentimes have people who are just, I would say, around your neighborhood who's trying to keep track of what's going on. Mm-hmm. They just really want to see what's going on around you. Mm-hmm. What would happen is you don't have the safety net or the safety environment where someone can leave their house, or like Miss Joan was saying, someone can be gone for a long time and no one else cares. I think what happens that can be the most terrible thing is the fact that if no one's talking, then there's no one who's, everyone, first of all, people are afraid. And they're afraid to maybe communicate, or they're afraid to get involved. Well, I say, first of all, you need to be involved. You live there, you're paying taxes, you're paying money, you need to be involved. And the beautiful thing is, and I can say this about at least the neighbors I have, especially you, Ms. Yonder, those who want to communicate will communicate. If they're doing something wrong, then you need to know what's going on there too, because whether you like it or not, it will affect you. And to answer your question, hopefully in a very quick fashion, the neighborhood itself will continue to go down. And people, if you notice crime, when crime is high, people disperse a lot more and they become so isolated. And the thing I would hate to see, especially with our Jerian community, because we have Jerians where we live at, that they would become isolated. Can you imagine being out there for 4 years and being isolated?
Okay, I don't know what that was, but
nice music.
That was some nice music. All right, but you know, I have been in a community where people have seen things occur, and they don't say anything. You know, I guess they're scared that they might be a snitch or something, and watch the community just go down. You know, kids were robbing each other, kids were taking over the community, and nobody would go up or say anything. I think there was a single mom that was working, and right after school, they were, you know, in the house by themselves. They didn't go over to the rec center or had any supervision, and they just took over the community. Nobody said anything. And when you asked them, did they see, you know, when you got robbed, you asked them if you see anything, and they said no, they didn't see anything. It was scared to get involved. People that are scared to get involved. But you know what, but Larry, you are so right. When you don't get involved, or you don't say anything, and you put it under the rug, and guess what? It gets worse.
A decline in the community.
It declines.
Well, you know, everybody, all my friends know I've always come up with great lines all the time.
But yeah.
I have to admit, when crime is high, everybody's in the school for the blind. They don't want to see nothing. They
Yeah.
But regardless of you being not involved with it or not, it's still going to affect you because it's going on around you.
That's right.
And I've never wanted to insulate myself or my family to where their safety was being compromised because someone didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Or if I had neighbors, I want them to say something to me.
Yeah.
And to know that we have that type of connection, like even when we were with the Block Watch, there was an officer we worked with, there was a police officer. A lot of neighborhoods don't know some of their safety nets, that you have a liaison, an assigned officer that's to your neighborhood. These are things that you
And he was awesome
want.
To work with. His name was Officer, we got to give him some kudos. Officer Townsend?
Yeah, he was a great guy.
He was a great guy to work with.
Absolutely, and a lot of times, that's going to give you kind of like the pulse of your neighborhood when you see people come out and they want to work with the local police, they want to work with the local government. Now, are we a perfect people all the time? Absolutely not. But what makes it work is those who want to be involved, who, you watch how this works. The more secure your neighborhood is, the better it's going to be for your kids, the better it's going to be for people who can walk around.
Yes.
And I want that in our neighborhood. I so much want that, because not just for selfish reasons, because I want to be able to know that my neighbor, they can leave home and I can watch out for them and know that I care for them, because that's what neighborhoods are all about. So I thank you so much, Ms. Yolanda, for bringing this topic up. It's a fantastic topic. It's something that probably needs to be expanded, you know, even in other mediums.
So
thank you.
John, what
do you want to say? Yeah, and I was saying, you brought up an important word, a snitch.
Yeah,
a lot of people think that if they report something, or they see something going on and they talk about it, to report it to an authority, is snitching. And that is a word that was very profound in the New Jersey. I was raised in New Jersey. And that's the last thing you wanted on your record, is being socially, being a snitch. because it was very dangerous, especially in that particular state. So a lot of people think whenever they tell what they've seen, if it's not a correct behavior, that they're snitchers. And I think I was surprised to find out the various type of snitches there were. But what I thought of a snitch, they said, is somebody who's trying to, who's done a crime, committed a criminal act, and they're trying to get out of it by pointing their finger at other people who are committing criminal acts that the police might not have enough evidence on to arrest. And consequently, they are alleviated. Their crime is, they're not punished for their crime. But snitches are very important. And I think that we need to have snitches, not in terms of criminal the people who are committing crime themselves, but people in general who see things happen. In the Japanese community and in the Chinese community, a lot of times they will have people come out if they see unusual person, unusual activity. They will ask the person, "What are you doing here? I haven't seen you here before." And we need to take this kind of open environment in our communities whenever we hear things and when we see things, people around that we suspect is not there for good in our community for good purposes.
And the mindset of loving your community. I know I was right over in there's two communities I wanted to make a point with. And, I was in Bexley, and I was speeding, okay? And I didn't realize I was speeding. And a police officer stopped me and said, "You're in Bexley. Now, right across the street is Columbus, Ohio." And I don't know if he was implying that you can't speed in Bexley, because they're not going to have it. And it's right across the street. And, people that are in various communities in our city, they should be, to the same mindset, to love their community.
Right.
Love their neighbors. How many neighbors should we know, Larry?
Within our neighborhood, I try to know as many as I possibly can. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't think there's a limitation on it. I think it's nice to know as many people who are willing to open up to you. But I would want to go back and revisit one thing that Ms. Robinson next to me said, that when she's talking about snitch, snitch as a word has become a connotation that those who are evil or some who's doing their due benevolence or nefarious activities oftentimes don't want light shed on it. So when they do is they come up with a term that seems to have some traction and says, well, that person's a snitch. Well, they don't want anybody telling them when they're doing wrong that to expose it. So the word snitch, that's how it becomes a bad thing. Well, you hear people say in prison, snitches get stitches. Well, that's because people are doing benevolent activity. They're doing evil activities where they are doing type of crime even within the confines of the prison wall. And they don't want nobody telling them what to do. That's why they are where they are. But where we live at, I would love to see everyone know as much part of their neighborhood as they possibly can. The difference is that a lot of times you have so many different generations that are coming together. And so now it's up to the governing bodies, it's up to the actual neighborhood to come together and collaborate and say, look, we don't want this here. We don't want this type of crime. We don't want these type of bad activities. We want to be able to create a safe environment for our children. And we also want to let you know that we're not going to stand for your druggies. We're not going to stand for different people doing different things.
Trafficking, messing our kids, all those things. Yeah.
Because a lot of times when they set up shop, you got to ask yourself, we all are in the neighborhood as far as a tug of war. Either they're winning or we win it.
That's right.
You got to choose which side you want to be on.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I think, may I?
No.
And I think today with telephones that you can take pictures of people without them even knowing it. I think the minute you see somebody's cars, I have done it. I go and take a picture of their license plates. And I'll call up and report them based upon the license plates. And they can call me a snitch if they want, but that's what I will do if you look like you are up to some unhealthy activity in my community. And I think that we can do this without them knowing it. And we should use it every opportunity we get when we see people around doing things that we know that should not be done.
Well, you know, to further saying what she said, and same thing Miss Yolanda said mm-hmm. over there, is mm-hmm. she talked about Bexley. You know, people mm-hmm. who live in Columbus and yes. the greater Columbus area know what kind of communities Bexley, Worthington, Upper Arlington, mm-hmm. Gahanna, those places like that. Yeah. And so, you know, here you are, you know that they're making a statement when they say we don't want certain things in our neighborhood, and you can't blame them. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the one important thing that they understand mm-hmm. is not just safety, but they understand the vested mm-hmm. point of their property mm-hmm. being what it is. They've paid all this money.
Right.
They put all these things together, their education, mm-hmm. their family, they've done all this, and I'll be daggone if somebody's going to come around and wreck that train. Nope.
If I saw someone walking down that alley who didn't belong in there, I said, excuse me, but can I help you? And they would make up some fib. They was looking for another street. I pull out my phone. I didn't have a cell phone at that time. Pull my phone through the window. I say, hey, let's find out where that street is. And they'll go a different direction because yeah. they know they wasn't there for a good purpose.
Yeah. And the more people that you have in your community that's doing it, the safer you are.